Many of us are familiar with the 20th century contemporary and surreal artist Salvador Dali. Some have seen his artwork with all the images seem to melt together or seem to be exaggerated in one form or another. Some of the forms seem to be very grotesque, others very, very humorous. But that's the kind of work that Dali did. One of his most famous, which was both a source of criticism but also of great compliments, was the crucified Christ. And the title was The Crucifixion from God's View. And in it, in the center of the image of the picture, we see Jesus Christ. It is forefront. It hits us right in the face. And we are looking down upon his head, which is now bowed down onto his chest. And we see the agony of his arms that try to support his weight on the cross beams. We see the cross itself, which is firmly planted into the earth very deeply, this foundation that holds the earth very, very strongly, or maybe it's the earth that holds the cross in a very powerful way. But there is this connection between what we see there and our own lives as well. We cannot help but be affected by this very, very powerful image, this very up-close image and view of Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. Because that is our image, that is our sign and our symbol of God's intense love for each and every one of us. It is God's unconditional yes to the human race, that God says, I believe because God has made us, and God has created us, and God continues to love us. And the sign of the cross for us is a sign of who we are. It indicates, reminds us of what we are about, that we have this very, very sacred and intimate relationship with God forever and always because of what Jesus does on the cross. So when we come into this place, into this space, we make the sign of the cross. And it should be really a sign of the cross when we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not something where we sort of miss our forehead and do something or other on our chest, but rather a real indication that we belong to the cross. And the cross very much belongs to us as well. The birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation, would have been enough to say that God loves us. But in oneness with our very sad world, with our very broken world, a world that's full of hurt and evil and sin and pain, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the death of God's Son, stands before us as an indication of what we believe in, an indication of how we can believe and how we might believe and how we ought to believe and how we might respond to all that God has given each and every one of us. We stand before the glorious cross, and we praise and thank God for this deep love which was poured out upon us, not just once in the Paschal mystery, but continues to be poured out upon us as well, even to this very day. And our challenge in our lives is that we are grounded in that cross, because we need to be grounded in something. We're left to our own desires, to our own devices. We are like these squirmy little children. We want to be picked up. We want to be put down. We want to be picked up, put down. And when we get picked up, we sort of wiggle around all over the place. And we get put down. And we're hungry, not really hungry. We want something, but not really something. We want to rest and eat. And we go back and forth with all of our needs and our concerns. And we see this very patient, this very loving God, who any of us would be at this time pulling our hair out, but God is patient and loving and caring. And God does give us what we need, what we really need, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And he takes us away from compulsions, takes us away from sin and evil, shows us a better way, a higher way, a more valuable way of living our lives, to live out more of our dignity and our goodness, and the understanding and recognition that we are created in God's image and likeness, and we have been gifted with many good things. Because we have to push against that stuff, that yuck, that gunk, that so often pervades our lives and our society, our culture today. Stuff that allows us to wallow in anger and bitterness and envy and restlessness and confusion and moral compromise, the simple need to get by. All these pull us down and ask us to live with them in the gutter of the world, if you will. But we have to allow ourselves that the despair and the sin and evil that these things offer us are not what we are about. The cross tells us that we are about something higher, something better, something more holy, something more sacred. That we have within ourselves a dignity and a sacredness that is the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it lives within our lives and our hearts, not just us personally, but each and every one of us as a human family. God comes into our lives in a very powerful way. And we cannot stay steady in this churning mass of stuff without some kind of good foundation. And the cross anchors itself in our world. It plants itself in the garden in which we live. And it avoids making compromises for what it believes in. But it shows us the great love and compassion that God the Father has for each and every one of us. It calls us and challenges us to express our faith in the world today and to stand up against sin and evil and hurt and pain, and not to allow ourselves to be pulled down, but rather it points to a direction of heaven. It points to a God who loves us more than we can imagine. Because once we are marked with the sign of the cross, and once we come to understand that the cross is part of our day-to-day life, the cross asks us to transcend the values of the world and to live by the values of God, the holiness of God, the goodness of God, and the love that God has for each and every one of us. And when we come to recognize all that God has given us, our reaction to all the good things that God has given us is to give our own amen, to give our own unconditional yes by following faithfully all that we are about, to follow faithfully in that integrity and that goodness and that light and the life of holiness as well. Not to live simply in the present moment, but to live for the kingdom of heaven. The people who Moses are speaking to today, they find themselves distressed because things seem to be overwhelming for them. And they start to yell and rail against God and Moses and all their leaders. But they know they cannot trust in their own righteousness. Their priests and people only piled up infidelities, and they mocked what was sacred and holy. They amassed abominations. They scoffed at God and God's goodness and the truth of God. But only a God of goodness and compassion, of love and kindness, a God who looks after us and guards us and guides us always as his children, can overcome our infidelities and lead us back from exile. God so loved the world, we are told. Nicodemus, when he hears these words, Nicodemus comes in the night. He's a seeker in the night. He's in the midst of darkness, and he seeks out Jesus Christ. And he finally gets this answer, and it confuses him, and it bothers him, and causes a little bit of anxiety, and he shakes a little bit. He doesn't know what to do with this. But Jesus says to him, God so loved the world as to give his only Son. And sometimes it hits us upside the head that God loves us so much, because it's hard to be loved, because we know if we are loved, we are vulnerable. If we love back, we are all the more vulnerable. And that's a precarious state of affairs to be in. But that's what we are. We are loved by God. We are called to respond to that love of God by our very lives. Our postmodern society says today that our values are the only values that we live by. If I think something's right, well, it must be right, because I think that. And what's right for me is right for me, and what's right for you is right for you. But we are called to live by the values and the virtues of heaven, the values and virtues of a God who overwhelms us with truth and goodness and light and holiness. St. Paul is so aware of that when he talks about God humbling himself to come into our midst as in our own form, accepting our human condition, because he did not deem divinity something to be grasped at, but rather he took our human form, obedient to God, and by being obedient to God, he brought salvation to the whole world. Jesus Christ is lifted up above the dysfunction of human sin and sinfulness. He's lifted up above the evil and the corruption and the brokenness and the pain and the hurt. And he asks us to join him on the cross. As Jesus looks up heavenward, we are called to seek that direction as well in our lives. Because the cross is not something that's simply planted in the earth. It's also something that helps us raise our eyes above all the stuff and the yuck and the gunk in our lives, to make choices and decisions about those things that are good, those things that are holy, make choices and decisions for those things that adequately express our dignity and our holiness, and the dignity and holiness of all men and women in the world today, that we seek out compassion and peace and reconciliation and healing and oneness and unity with God and with one another as well. And through the mystery of the cross, we overcome sin and sinfulness. St. John Paul II says it best when he reminds us. He says, we are invited to look upon the cross. It is a privileged place where the love of God is revealed. On the cross, human misery and divine mercy meet. The cross is planted in the earth and would seem to extend its roots into human malice. But it reaches up, it points, as it were, St. John Paul II says, to the heavens, pointing to the goodness of God. And he goes on, by means of the cross, Christ has conquered the evil one, and he has been defeated. Death is overcome, life is given, hope is restored, and light is imparted. And that's the mystery, and that's the feast, and that's the exaltation that we celebrate today. It reminds us that we should stay close to the cross. It's a privileged place. It's a place of horror, but it's also a place of hope. It's a place of pain, but it's also a place of promise. We are invited today, as God's holy people, to look upon the cross and to stand close enough that we might feel the healing and peace and goodness of God and understand and recognize his love for each and every one of us and imitate what the cross gives us, so that in imitating the goodness of God, in imitating his love for all men and women, we may feel its very shadow across our face and rejoice in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.